Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What's happening, Johnny?
What's going on? Yeah, the math, you start doing the math and looking at Boston's record right now, and, like, they can play 500 and get to, like, 114 points. Like, it's just, it's obscene where they're at right now. They can fall apart because, like, 500 in the NHL today is a pretty average team when you consider all the overtime points. So they play 500, and, like, even at that rate, they're going to be hard to catch. So for Toronto, it's about, I suppose, home ice is really what they're battling for.
Well, Johnny, I was thinking about this last night. You go back to Tampa season where they had, didn't they have 61, 62 wins or something? And they lost to Columbus in the first round. Got swept, did they not? I think it was like a weird...
Hedman got suspended, or Kucherov suspended, Hedman hurt.
So I'm sitting here thinking about Boston. Every team has ebbs and flows throughout the season. We haven't seen them, you know, really be challenged. Even though they have been challenged with some injuries, they just, the machine just keeps going. You know, is it good for a team to just pillar to post it, or is it good for a team to kind of have some adversity where, hey, we didn't play well for these last five games, let's get it rolling here, kind of like let's check ourselves type of thing?
Well, I mean, nobody knows because nobody's ever not had a bump in the road, right? Like, it's too hard not to. I mean, I guess you could talk to the 76 Habs who had, you know, eight losses. I think they won the Stanley Cup, so maybe it's okay to go if you're just that good. And I think you're right. Like, the adversity that they dealt with, they just never lost during it, was when they were missing Grizzlick and McAvoy and Marchand to start the year. And they're bringing a new coach and lost, and, you know, bringing back Krejci. Like, what they dealt with at the start of the year was supposed to be their moment of adversity, but turned out to be no problem at all. But I don't know. It's just amazing that in today's game, where the margins are so tight, where the demands of travel and back-to-backs make it so hard to be consistent, even the worst team in the league wins 4 out of 10 games. How they're winning, you know, 8 or 9 games out of every 10 is just, I don't know what to say. I mean, they're good. And you look at their roster, and of course they're good, right? Like, Bergeron's a Hall of Famer, and Pasternak might be close to a Hall of Famer, as might be Marchand. But they're, like, they're not like the Oilers from 84. Like, they have, you know, they have good players, but not that overwhelmingly good to do what they are doing. It's really hard to figure that they've been able, how they've been able to do it for 50 games, let alone, you know, for even less than that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they're undoubtedly the best team. Like, that is clear cut, and they have an immense amount of talent. But you referenced that 70s. You know, Habs team, that's not what this Boston team is on paper. You know, it's not the equivalent of, like, wow, 10 Hall of Famers and, man, clear cut best talent, and they got the best at this, they got the best at that. It's not, that's not who they are. And
no,
you know, from that standpoint, it almost makes you wonder, and we won't know until we get there. Like, if they lost in the first round, it would be a shock, but it could happen. You know, they could just run out of steam. They find a bad matchup. I mean, it feels like, I heard Craig on with Onright last week, and I think Craig was saying he was speaking with someone in the NHL who was saying, you know, they're at a position now where it's Boston versus the field. Like, that's what we're betting here. It's the Bruins versus the field. Who are you taking? Are you at that point, Johnny?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing, like, and you think about the Tampa team from a few years ago that, I think they had 128 points, and they lost the first round. But that team, the way they're winning the regular season, they were just overwhelming teams with their offense. And it feels as though that's not the case with this Boston team, although they score a ton of goals. Like, it feels like their game will translate just fine to the playoffs. It might even be better, you know, when it gets tighter and their margins, and, you know, and more physical and lower scoring. They are more than okay playing that way. That's what's frightening. It's not like they need to make adjustments to get to playoff style. It feels like the roster that they have right now is more than capable of being a great playoff team as well, which maybe wasn't the case for Tampa back 4 years ago when they lost that time. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're miles and away the best team. The thing that will be tough for them is that they're going to have a tough path. Like, I don't know who the first round opponent is going to be, but Tampa or Toronto in the second round, that's going to be a very opponent. And then Carolina, like, they're probably going to play the second, third, and sixth favorite if they go to the Stanley Cup final. Like, it's not going to be an easy path for them to get to, not like if they're in the Western Conference where it's not nearly the same.
Would you even add, Johnny, like, if you're Boston, do you say, like, what the hell, like, for giggles, we'll bring in another player, probably a star player? Like, how would you even approach the deadline with that record?
Totally legitimate question to me. Because, you know, they could go get Bo Horvat and have a succession plan for a centerman. But with everything working so well, you run the risk of upsetting a room and a dynamic that is so perfectly harmonious that, like, all of a sudden, ooh, Charlie Coyle's not getting to play third line minutes anymore. And so, you know, someone's not getting a penalty kill. And it all just changes a little bit. It is something that you would have to be wary of if you're going to make a big move. You're going to get some depth guys who might fill around the edges. But if you're going to go get a big time player who's going to bump someone who's been important to this team that's, like, virtually never lost, that is something you have to really think about long and hard.
Well, just to follow this, Johnny, too, here's where my mentality would be. I agree, because if you bring somebody in that needs ice time, needs attention, all that, it could take away from the chemistry. But I'm looking at it the other way, too. This might be the last year of the band. Like, Bergeron, yep, you know, Krejci, like, there's a reason why it all fits, is because this summer, when they announced the injuries to Marchand and to McAvoy, we had no idea Krejci was coming back. Bergeron was still in the air. Like, there was a lot of, like, all of us going, yeah, Boston's going to take a step back. This is the year. To me, this is the year they have to go all in, because I'm not convinced next year will look the same or feel the same. So that is the balance that Don Sweeney has to come in, or, you know, at least have the thought process heading into the deadline, is, should I be all in just because this could be the last year of this group playing at its best? Pastrnak deal not done. You know, all these types of things up in the air this season.
Yeah, well, there's no chance in the world that next year is not going to be as good as this year. I mean, I think that, right, that goes without saying, whether they return the whole group or not. There's no way they do this again. And for that reason, you're correct. They should, and I think they will, be all in, uber aggressive. But even if they, you know, you're balancing those two motivations. Like, we're going to be aggressive. We're willing to trade futures. We're going to sacrifice whatever to make our team as good as it can be. But even if we're getting an uptick in talent, does that necessarily make our team better right now because of the chemistry?
We right.
Might be, it's, you know, there's no right answer, and you don't know until you do it. But if you go get, like, Bo Horvat, or you go get Patrick Kane, or you will get one of those players who's going to take and has to take a significant role given the price you pay for them and the role that they'll fill, that will change the dynamic. I don't think it's probably enough to make the team go off course, but it's something to be considered of.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there are so many teams that you can circle on both ends of it in terms of what they're going to do between now and March 3rd, and obviously here in Toronto, you know, as we said off the top, like, you're battling with Tampa for home ice, and you're just trying to stay healthy and keep everyone in a rhythm, and that's about it. And they will make moves. I mean, I think we all anticipate Dubas will do something. It's just a matter of the magnitude of those moves. But I think you look at the way their players are playing. They're high-end guys, and last night was an example of it, with Willie Rolland. Tavares had a night. Matthews had a night. I mean, from the Leafs' perspective, what else could you ask for at this point, Johnny? Like, is there one thing you look at where you're like, all right, end of January, I figured they'd have this figured out, or is there something you're circling between now and either the deadline or the end of the year, for that matter, that you believe they do need to focus on?
You know what? That's a good question. I would say that I still think, like, Jordan Crook, what am I saying? He's on pace for 24 goals and 50 points. Like, that shouldn't be a problem. But, like, that middle six left winger spot, because I'm kind of interchanging it with the third line left winger, which is sometimes Engvall, something, but McCann or McMahon right now. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that, if we're nitpicking, because they're a very good team, like, that might be the one spot, because I think we thought Nick Robertson would have that, right? Like, that would be answered by him.
Do you think Matthew Knies might have a chance? Do you think Knies could have a chance at that, Johnny, if he comes out and they sign him? Do you think?
Interesting.
Like, they're not going to promise him anything, but I think it's a chance.
No. Yes, I think he'll get an opportunity there. And Matthew Nye is interesting to me. Like, so, like, I mean, I played college, and I turned pro and played, like, the day after, and it was okay. I wasn't in a playoff chase. I wasn't in the kind of pressure cooker he'll be going into, but he's also a lot better and more pedigreed than I ever was. Like, he can do that. And he'll be 21, I think, at the time. So he's not a kid, 18 years old. I need to watch, I mean, obviously, admittedly, I don't watch the Minnesota Gophers play, but I watched him play at the Olympics and the World Juniors, and he's got an NHL body, NHL skill set, big frame, he's got good hands. He's not, or was not, a great skater. And so if you're not a great skater in college, like, you're not going to be a great skater in the NHL. That would be my only concern. Like, how impactful do you think this guy could be? I know people are really big on him, but I don't know the answer, but I know, like, a year ago we had this conversation. I think they were trying to convince him to turn pro. And I was down the rink, and I'm just saying, like, just temper your expectations because, you know, he's not dominating college. Like, he's not putting up 90 points. He's putting up 1 point a game, which is different than 2.5 points a game. So, you know, to think that he's going to come in the NHL and score 55, 60-point pace, he may, but I don't know if it's a slam dunk guarantee, but he may get a look at that, or if they don't believe he can do it or they don't trust he can do it, he might be the primary piece they trade away to go get the guy that they believe that can do it.
Which is absolutely reasonable. I mean, this is where I think every fan base, they get so horny when it comes to the high-end prospects. Like, how you could never trade that guy. And it's like, yes, you absolutely can for a couple of different reasons. One, the scouting staff, they may think of differently than the hype train does, you know, based on what you just said. This guy's not Paul Kariya in college, right? Like, point of game.
Not Kyle Connor,
exactly. Like, good player, 6'3", 210 size, but they may not see him as a guy that they believe is a point per game or 35 goal scorer in the NHL. And furthermore, you're in a position now where if that's the price and you're bringing in a piece or multiple pieces that you believe gets you over the top, I think the Leafs would do that. I mean, I don't see them having a prospect right now that is completely untouchable. I don't get the impression
There's no such thing, basically. If you're talking about a real high-end player coming in, I mean...
If it's Timo Meier, and it's like, oh, you're Nyes and you're a Topi Niemela, you're like, I like both those guys, but they're not able to win this year. Not the way Meier might. You know, like, if that's the price, then that's something you have, like, if you can afford it, cap-wise, like, that's the price that the Leafs will entertain and be willing to pay.
Yes.
Yeah, Johnny, just on the Meier front, I know there's a little buzz and people get excited about, do you think, like, he might be viewed as a rental if you went and got him because he has to be qualified at 10? Like, that, like, I keep trying to figure out the economics of that transaction.
He ain't playing here next year.
Well, I mean, listen, they'll be able to work it out. They, like, capologists, and believe me, if there's somebody that could pull it off, it would be the Leafs and you know, Brandon Pridham and all of that. But my point being is, if that's the guy you circle and you're going, okay, he might be, we'll make that decision this summer, but really that's the guy that we want. You're going to have to pay a king's ransom to get him, and then you'll figure it out on the back end. Like, that's, I've been really toying with the idea of, like, do you think that's a realistic target for them, or just the QO price might be too rich on the back end?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I mean, could you imagine you have a guy you retain his rights, but he's essentially a rental for you anyways because you can't afford to even qualify him. And I think it's worth noting, I think the qualifying offer, he makes 10 this year, but when you make over $4 million, the qualifying offer is actually not 100% of your previous contract. It's 85 or 90, so it's actually an $8.5 or $9 million qualifier. But either way, it's going to be a lot. I think the only way that works is maybe you sign into an extension for 8 years at 64. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't make $10 million a year anymore. Maybe then you have that conversation. But, or you take him, you trade for him, you have him play this year, he's a part of your team, and then you trade him again in the summer. You trade his rights somewhere else in the summer where some other team can afford him, and then put him on their roster. But it's wickedly complex unless somebody gets hurt for Toronto to do it this year and to do it going forward. Unless San Jose eats some of his salary this year, then it becomes a lot more affordable this year.
Right.
Yeah, everything's so complex, right? You can't make a simple deal. Everything's about the cap and the qualifying offer, and that's our reality right now. We'll leave it there, Johnny. We'll do it again later in the week.
It's the agreement the players agreed to, Hayes.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I'm speaking through the lens of a fan. I was ranting and raving 2 hours ago about it, and it was being misconstrued as if I was making an excuse for the Leafs. So I'm not. I'm saying just as a fan, the idea that the Leafs, you know, there's no moves to be made because of the cap. The playoff structure, I think, sucks because you know who they're playing, and it's in January. It's too bad. Like, it is. They're playing Tampa, and they can't make moves. Like, it sucks if you're a fan. You're waiting for something to happen, or you're looking for some sort of storyline that's original, and it's all paralyzed because of the way the NHL operates.
Patience, my friend. Patience. Yeah. You got a month.
All right. We'll get there. Thank you, Johnny.
All right. Yep.
Mike Johnson. Hi, guys. There he is. Reasonable man. He is patient. He is reasonable. Anyway.
Yeah, I would argue they do have, you know, kind of dates circled where you got to start digging in. I know Kyle's a guy who's proactive, likes to make trades early, before. Mm-hmm. He might have something in the chamber, but you got to wait to a certain date because the cap number has to fit and, you know, like that type of stuff. So, be interesting to see when the shoes start to drop.
We got time. We got time. And like the Matthew Nye stuff, I'm excited to see what he's got. I think it obviously was a good pick. He's a highly touted player. But let's not pretend like this guy is the second coming of Austin Matthews, you know, and he's untouchable. And how dare you suggest, you know, I see it on Twitter all the time, Leaf fans fighting, like tooth and nail.
Dude, you talk about a secret society. Do you know there's like Leaf group chats where there's complete insanity going on with like I'm privy to some of it at my buddy's house on his iPad where it's like there's different like people come up with I talk to this guy. It's a secret society and it is absolute craziness.
Yeah.
Believe me, it pops into your Twitter timeline sometimes where you get lumped into an argument. That is my biggest pet peeve. Like, somebody will write to whoever, maybe the three of us, and then two people start arguing. And
go through the comments. Like, it's just, it's lunacy. Like, it's...
And we are lumped into it. It's like, I didn't say that. You said that. And I'm like, it's just a simple mute, because I don't want to be a part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And it takes up my oxygen.
It can go on forever too. And you're right. Then it goes down different roads, and all of a sudden they're battling about the 98 draft and why it did make. And you're like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah. Dude,
how did we get to this point?
Something else.
It's passion, man.
It is. It's a thing of beauty. But again, in that passion, it's. I love it. I support it for all fans of all different teams. But your prospects, you know, they got to go sometimes, and they're not all going to hit. Again, as Johnny just said jokingly, he's like, I'm not sitting there watching this kid plays in college. Everyone's made up their mind. You know, listen, this Fraser Minton, you can't trade him. Have you seen him play? You haven't seen him play. You know, I don't know if I'm sure they like him. They've drafted all these guys. But if they can get a deal done that helps the NHL team, I have no doubt they will pull the trigger on that. They're not going to be careless. Not going to throw pieces away. They're not going to do it for guys that aren't worthy of that price. But for guys that are worthy of the price, are you going to dance or not? You know, I got to make that choice. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. As we said yesterday, big tickets. Leafs Bruins next Wednesday. This is a big game. Every day this week, we'll provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. This former Maple Leaf is a Memorial Cup champion. This former Maple Leaf is a Memorial Cup champion. All right, there's your second clue for the week.
Darcy Tucker.
I don't remember. I already forgot yesterday's clue.
Yesterday was like drafted by Buffalo or something, wasn't it? I can't remember, but it was drafted by Nashville. So Tucker wasn't drafted by Nashville.
No, he wasn't. No. So it's not him. I don't know.
There you go.
All right, we'll find out. Confirmed that I After Dark still to come. We got picks for the Farmers. We'll get into Dak versus Dallas Cowboys Twitter. All that and more still to come. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.